word will accomplish in each life that for which you have sent it out, God. Thank you that your word is living. Thank you that your word is powerful. Thank you that your word is working in our lives. Thank you that your word is like seed, God. As Wynand said tonight, you won't see the results immediately, but it is working in our lives. It is working in lives. It is changing lives. It is changing hearts. It is changing minds. It is, yeah, God, it just works a softness in our hearts. Because we know, God, it is the soft soil that produces the most crop. And we just ask, God, just soften our hearts before you. Make it soft before you, God, so that your word will produce a hundredfold in our lives. For we pray it in Jesus' name. And all of God's children say, amen. Amen. It's so important that we keep our hearts soft before God. You know, when the sower went out to sow the seed, he used the same seed, but it was the place where the seed, was sown, where it connected with the ground. It was the quality of the ground that determined, how fruitful the seed were. Was it 30-fold? Was it 60-fold? Or was it 100-fold? And you know what? The seed that fell on the ground that was prepared, that was soft, it produces the 100-fold. So it's so important that we keep our hearts soft before God. You know, when our hearts is soft, when God speaks, we will move with him. When our hearts is soft, and God wants something from us, we will say, yes, God. But when our hearts become hard, it's the worries of life, and when it lands between the thorns and the thistles and on the hard ground, when it fell on the hard ground, the devil immediately came and took it away. But when our hearts is soft, God can accomplish what he has for us. So this evening, I just want to continue from this morning, just touch on a few things and just work on what God has for us. And I call this message, How to Reach Your Desired Destiny. God has a desired destiny for us. You know what? Before the world was created, God already dreamed about you. He knew you by name. You know, of all the millions of people that is out there, he knew you. You know, you were in his heart. I said, yeah, to get somewhere, you need to dream. You know what? God dreamed about you. He dreamed about your hairstyle, your personality, how you're going to be built, how you're going to look. He dreamed about you. And we need dreams. You know what? God, in his word, he's talking about vision or dreams. We need dreams. And everyone has a dream. I hope you have a dream. Just turn to the guy next to you. Share your dream with him. Just in a minute or two. Just share your dream. Say, wow, this is what I want to accomplish. This is so important to me. Okay, anybody want to share their dream with us? Let's give one or two opportunity. Ashwell, is your name Ashwell? anybody? Ashwell, you still thinking? Another dream? Want to share their dream with us? Yeah, say. Bekende Schrijver. Wow. And another dream from that group of people there, over there. Being a Bible school teacher. Wow. Okay. Hey, guys, we need to dream, you know. Some people have a dream to be happily married, to own their own house, to be financially stable. Overseas dream. Some dreams about Maseratis and stuff like that, but it's okay. But to reach your desired destiny, you know what? You need more than a dream. You need more than a good intention. You know, we cannot, you know, reach our desired destiny, you know, just by dreaming about it, just by having good intentions. It needs hard work. There's a quote, somebody said, it's from Winston Churchill. He said, some people dream of success while others wake up and work hard at it. You know, it's you know, to reach success, you need overalls and you need, you know what, lots of hard work. You need to put in. So to reach your dream, you and I need to do certain things. The direction that you and I choose determines where we go. You know, if you work hard, it puts you on a certain road. If you don't work hard, it also puts you on a certain road. It will take you somewhere. You know what? So what you do is very important, because what you do determines where you are going, and our direction are determined by our decisions. Okay? You know what? There's so many reasons why. No, I don't want to say reasons. There's so many verskonings. Excuses, thank you very much. You know, there's so many excuses why you can't do Bible school. While all you need is one good reason why I must do it. There's so many excuses, you know, why I'm not the good jogger, you know. While all we need is one good reason. So we need a reason. The direction you choose will ultimately bring you to a certain destiny. Which way I go. The problem is, guys, we all choose roads and lifestyles that we know won't bring us to our desired destiny. That's a problem. We know where we want to go. But so many times, you know, we choose a road. We choose the wrong road. We know this thing is not going to work out. But, you know, somehow we hope that it will work out. If you want to be a good writer, you need to work hard. You have to do courses on writing and all those stuff. But you know what? We mess it up sometimes. You know, okay, all of us mess it up one or other time. You know what? If you want to lose weight, meat pies is not good for lunch. That road won't take you there. And you know what? If you want to stay true to your hubby, to your wife or your husband, you know, internet chat rooms is not a good place to chat with, you know, the opposite sex. You know, it won't keep you faithful. So there's certain things that we need to, you know, to make sure that we are on the right road. I said this morning, if you want to save money, stay out of the mall. Stay out of the coffee shops. You don't get rich by spending money. So all roads lead to a certain destiny. You know, I remember when I was still a small kid, you know, and we were driving, you know. It wasn't the days of GPSs, you know. You don't have a GPS and you don't, you know, put in your destination where you wanted to go. And we went to visit my father's brother. He was farming for one of those rich farmers in Botawel. The Von Abus. So he was farming for him, and we went to Botawel because, you know, it's time to, you know, to make some biltong. So we went out to the farm to make some biltong, and I remember we were driving one time, and my dad was unsure, you know, on which road the farm was. So he stopped, you know, and he called one of the guys there, you know, and he said, "Hey, Muna, komiso," and he asked me, he says, "This road, where is this road going to?" Because all roads go to a certain destiny. All roads go to a certain place. And he was asking, where is this road going to? Because he know if this road is going to where he wants to go, you know, he can go. He can use this road to go to the farm. But if this road is not going, you know, to the mountain or to the river or, you know, what his beacon was, you won't get there. So, guys, we need to remember, to know that all roads leads to a certain destiny. Now, I want to talk to you about word people. God is raising up word people. And thank you, Marianne. Thank you, Fawn, for your testimonies. A while ago, God is raising up people that can change the world. God is actually raising up world changers. And to become world changers, to become people that can change the world, that can influence, you know, our circle of friends, that can influence people, you know, where we work in the marketplace. You know what? We need a certain lifestyle. We need to be on a certain road. And to be used by God, our lifestyle needs to reflect it. You know, you can't ask God to use you, but, you know, every night you watch TV till the flag drops. It doesn't drop, but, you know, those days it dropped. You know, and you need to get a little bit earlier out of bed. You know, if you want to have a relationship with God, you need to work on it. You need to get early out of bed, and then you need to read your Bible, not the morning paper, not getting on the internet, you know. Read your Bible, or you can read it on your phone, you know. Don't use your phone to go onto Facebook, but, you know, you need a different lifestyle. You know, you need to press in. You need to pay a price. Now, Elijah was such a person. If you can just run for us those slides. It says in 1 Kings 17, and Elijah the Tisbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew, there shall not be dew or nor rain these years except at my word. This is the first sentence we read in the Bible of the person of Ahab. Of Elijah. Elijah was a prophet that God raised up. When you read the Old Testament, when you read the New Testament, you will see that Jesus talked about the law and the prophets. And when he mentioned the law and the prophets, he would mention Moses. He would mention Elijah. God used Elijah. God sent Elijah to spoke to Ahab. You can give the next one for us. And I said the word people is willing to obey God, even if it costs them their lives. Because Ahab was the king, and Ahab was like the pinnacle of wickedness. You know, Ahab wasn't serving God. Ahab was a wicked king, and God wanted somebody to change the course of history. God wanted somebody whom he could send into this situation, somebody who was willing and obedient to speak God's word, knowing that God's word will be fulfilled, because the word of God, like seed, has a power to grow. You only need to wet it, put it in the ground and wet it. So God's word, you know, God said, my word will not return void. My word will do, you know what, for the very reason that I sent it out. So God sent Elijah to confront Ahab. And you know what? To do something like that, you need a relationship with God. You not only do you need a relationship with God, but God tests people that he uses. God prepares us, and the way that God prepares us is that he tests us. If God wants you to go to the mayor, you know, he will. Did I pronounce that correct? The mayor. Oh, okay. Now you know what I'm talking about. But you know what? If God wants to send you to the mayor, you know, he will test you. You know, he will test you with your neighbor. He will test you with the guy working with you. He said, I want you to speak to that guy, you know. And you think, oh, God, you really want me to speak to that guy? But if you are obedient, and if you listen to God, and if you go and speak to that guy, guess what? God will promote you. And you know, sometimes we want to do the important things, and we're not willing to do the least things, the mundane things, you know. But that's the way how God works, you know. He tests you and on your level that you are, and if you pass that level, you can move on to the next level. And if you move on to the next level, and the tests come, and you're obedient to that test, and you pass that test, you can move on to the next level. So God was testing Elijah's life. God was working in his life. It's like the prophet in Ezekiel 37, it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. You know what? When God's hand is upon you, God is working with you. You know what? God is you know, he's busy with you. And the prophet, you know, he was willing. You remember in Ezekiel 37, God raised him up and he put him in the valley of the dry bones, and God challenged him. He said, can these dry bones live? And the prophet said, God, you know. God, what do you want to do with these dry bones? It's not about what I want them to do. It is what you want them to do. So God was challenging Elijah. God gave him a command. God gave him a job. God said, go and speak these words to Ahab. And as ek Elia was, het my broek mag gebewe. Because Ahab was like the pinnacle of wickedness. But you know, word people trust God for their protection. Let's just read about Ahab. In the previous chapter, 1 Kings 16, it says, now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord, more than all who were before him. He took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of the Sidonians. The Sidonians, they were, a people of, there was much wickedness, much darkness, much demonic forces working in those people. And they were Baal worshippers. The king of the Sidonians, he called himself Ethbaal. Okay, and Baal worship wasn't, you know, a very good worship. It was demonic. It was it was full of sexual impurities. Baal was the god of fertility. So then the worshippers would go to the temple of Baal and have sex with the temple prostitutes. And God said to his people, you know, you mustn't come used to the people around you, to their ways of worship, because I'm holy. You need to be holy. Ahab, just please, just go. So Ahab, you know, he married Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal. I don't have to tell you anything about Jezebel. And the Bible says, and he, Ahab, went and served Baal and worshipped him. So he brought Baal worship into Israel. And then the next verse says, he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a wooden image, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. How would you like to be Elijah, and God says, go and give Ahab this message? Wow. You know, your head is on the line. Your neck is on the line. Ahab's going to put a price on your life. But you know what? God worked in Elijah's life. And this evening, what I want to share with you as we talk about Bible school is we need to become word people. We need to become people that God is working in our lives, that God is shaping our lives to be the vessels that he wants us to be. So God find a man in the person of Elijah. And Elijah went to Ahab, and you know what? His story is such amazing to me. You know what? He came before the king, and when he came before the king, the next slide, you know what? I say the word people is totally convicted that God lives. You know, Ahab didn't have in his mind, you know, what do you call it? A twifel? He had no doubt that God was alive. He was totally convicted that God is a living God. Why? Because he had a relationship with God. Because not only did he had a relationship with God, but you know what? When you start to serve God, you start to have experiences with God. And out of those experiences, you know that God is a living God. And all through the Bible, you see these heroes of faith that they had experiences with God. Like Abraham, you know, Abraham, the father of our faith. You know what, God walked with him and God's hand was upon him. You know, God called him in Genesis chapter 12. He said, you know, leave your family, leave your culture, leave your father's house, leave everything and go to the place where I want you to go. And he went. He was obedient. But when he came in the land and there was famine, he fled to Egypt, which wasn't part of God's plan. And that's where all his trouble started, you know. He told the king, no, this is not my wife, this is my sister, which is half truth, half lie. And you know what? And end of the day, he was escorted out of Egypt, you know. And the king gave him a lot of stuff. And one of the lot of stuff that the king gave him was Hagar. Did I say that right? Hagar. and you know she did, you know, because Sarai one day said to Abraham, I don't like your faith anymore, man. Don't tell the stories to me. There's a woman, go and sleep with her and, you know, do what needs to be done. And you know what, that was where Ishmael was born, you know, and Ishmael still today is big trouble. You know, in the Middle East. You know what? So it was because of Abraham's disobedience. But in chapter 22, you know, God said to Abraham, you know, he grew. He started to trust God. You know, he became obedient. He became a worshiper. And in Genesis 22, God says, you know, you must go and sacrifice your son. The only one, Isaac. The one, you know what? The one God gave him through Sarai. And God said, go and sacrifice him. And he was obedient. He left the morning early. You know, he went with his servants. He went to the place God showed him. And when they came to the place, the Bible said, you know, he said to his servants, you stay here with the donkey, and I am the son going to worship. And the heart of worship is always obedience. Hello? It's always obedience. So he went up to the mountain. And Hebrews tell us he was trusting God to raise his son from the dead. He, you know what? He said, God, I'm going to obey you, but I believe that you're going to do a miracle. And Abraham had this experience with God, and you know what happened. You know, when he was at the point of slitting that most important vein, that God said, don't. Now I know that you fear. And you know, when he looked up, there was the ram. And that was the very same place that Jesus died on the cross. And he said, on the mountain of God, it will be provided. Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. So that was Abraham's experience with God. And how do we learn to know God? It is by experience. It is by bad situations that we know that God is faithful. You know, Abraham had the story about, you know, to tell about God's faithfulness. You know, and even Hagar, you know, in Genesis 16, you know, when the two women, you know, when the one became pregnant, you know, she became a little bit, you know, she looked at the mistress from a height, and the mistress, Sarah, couldn't handle it anymore, and she sent her away. She said, Abraham, look what you have done to me. Don't understand that part. But anyway, let's just go on. and you know what? And she was sitting at this well, and the angel of the Lord appeared to her. And the angel said to her, you know, what are you doing here? And then she shared her story, and God said, go back to your mistress and go and serve her. And she called the well, you know, the well of the one who lives and sees me. She had an experience with God. So guys, we need experiences with God, because it is our experiences that make us strong in the spirit. It is our experiences that makes our faith strong. It let our faith grow. We need that. We need the bad things. That's why James says, he says, you know, when all these bad things happen to us, we must rejoice, because God is working in us. You know, not everyone will rejoice when God tells them to go and kill their son. And luckily God said it to Abraham and not to Sarah, because she would have killed Abraham if she would have known what he was about to do. But it is experiences that let us grow in our faith. You know what? God was working in Elijah's life. You can run the next slide for us, please, Lisa Marie. It says here, just give us the previous one, please. Okay, they are convicted that God lives, that he is the Lord of Israel. And then the Hebrew says that without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. You know what? Elijah was convicted, you know what, that God is a living God. And this word says that when we come to him, we must believe that he is, and that God is a rewarder. Tell somebody next to you, God is a rewarder. You know what? He is, and his character is that he is a rewarder. Even if it takes 10 years to reward you, like Vainan said. You know what? Abraham had to wait, I think, about 25 years before the son of the promise, you know, was born. But God is a rewarder. When we go to him, we must know that he is. We must be convicted that he is, and that God is a rewarder. Okay. Word people lives in his presence. You know what? When Elijah stand before Ahab, he said, as sure as the Lord God lives, he says, before whom I stand. In Afrikaans, he says, voor wie se aangesig ek staan. You know what? God is a living God. And Elijah says to Ahab, you know what? I live in his presence. I know who he is. I have a relationship with him. And guys, this is so important that you know what? As Elijah was standing before Ahab, you know, he wasn't standing there in his own authority. He wasn't standing there, you know, because, you know, he thought it was a good thing to do and to go and to challenge the king. He knows, because God is a living God, he will protect me. Because God is a living God, he is there for me. And you know what? He had this experiences with God. And you know that God was living. And you know, his big experience was when he challenged the Baal priests on the mountain. On Mount Carmel, I think, is the mountain where it all happened. And he challenged the people. And the word says that, you know what, he started to rebuild the altar of the Lord. And that talks about worship, the worship that was broken down because of the Baal worship. So Elijah was trusting God. He said, before whom I stand. And then the next one says, word people makes God's word their own. Because Elijah said to Ahab, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except at my word. You know what? God's word must become our word. And you know what? It wasn't because Elijah was such a special person that he could say, no, it won't rain except on my word. It was God. God was saying to him, you go and tell Ahab that, you know what? It will only rain again. There will only be dew again when I say so. When I give you the command. When I tell you to pray. And you remember when it started to rain again. It was after the whole happening when the Baal priests were slaughtered, you know what, and he started to pray for rain, that the rain eventually came back. Word people, they trust God to care for them. Are you still here? Word people, they trust God to care for them. You know what, the scripture says that the word of the Lord came to him. You know what, he was giving this message to Ahab. So now there was a price on his head. He had to flee. He had to run. Okay? Because, you know, He was talking to the king. The king was a Baal worshipper. Baal is the god of fertility. You know what Baal brings? You know, Baal is the reason why there's crops on the land. And now, you know what? Elijah is challenging this religion to its very core. He touches this religion at its very core. You know, he takes the rain away. He takes that which produces the crop away. So he's running. You know, Ahab is furious. And God tell Elijah, he said, get away from here and turn eastward and heed and hide by the brook Cherith, which flow into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Give us the next one, please. Okay, just go back that one. You know what? God will always care for you when you are obedient. God will always be there for you. When we obey Him, when God tells you to go to Bible school, He will provide. When God tells you to go on missions, He will provide. Where God leads, He also provides. And sometimes we need to take the first step before the provision of God comes through. Amen? And what happened here is, we can go on. Word people knows that obedience sets the supernatural in motion. You know, when we obey, the supernatural starts to happen. Because what happens here is, so we went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and stayed at the brook. The next verse says, the ravens brought him bread and meat. You know what? First he had to go. That's a spiritual principle. That's a word principle. He needed first to go. You know what? You need money, and then God tells you, you know, give this amount to that person. And then you tell God, God, something is wrong here, God. I need the money. That's why, as a Christian, you know, I find it sometimes so difficult to budget, you know, because the budget works out 100%, and then God says, do this. And who are you going to obey? Your budget or God? Who's your provider? Your budget or God? So what happens here, you know, obedience sets the supernatural in motion. When he went, you know, to the river, it says the ravens brought him the bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. So the ravens, you know what, brought him the prophetic diet, bread and meat. And, there was water. You can make a stew from it. And what is so awesome, you know, that the morning and the evening is the time of the morning worship, the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice in the temple. So God, you know, these ravens, they were unpure birds, unpure animals. God can use anyone to serve his purposes. You know, the ravens were coming, and I don't know how the meat came to him. I don't know. I don't think it was vacuum packed. Either they carried it with their claws or in the what do you call it? That thing. But you know what? But you know what? It was God's provision. He said, thank you, God. You know, God provided for him. And then what happened? Because of his prophetic word, because he spoke the word God gave him, the brook, you know, it dried up. So what happened next is that the principle is, word people break the powers of darkness and death by their obedience. Okay, this is so important, you know, that we must know that because of our obedience, what breaks the power of darkness, what breaks the power of death. It says, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belonged to Sidon. Okay, now the king, you remember 1 Kings 16? The king, Jezebel's father, was Ethbaal, the king of the Sidonians. Okay, the demonic powers that were there, the Baal worship. So God is sending him back of God is sending him in where the powers of darkness is, where the demonic powers is, you know, where the stronghold of Baal is. Why? To go and break it. To break the stronghold of fear, to break the stronghold of darkness, to break the stronghold of the demonic. And God said to him, go and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and he went. He's obedient. Word people, he's obedient. And what happens when he came there, you know the story is that, you know, he came there and he spoke to this woman, he spoke to this widow, and he said, you know, and she said, you know, I'm going to to prepare me and my son a bun. I'm gonna bake bread, and there's just a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil. And then she said that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat and die. So she had the spirit of death upon him, on her. You know what? And it's so important. That's why we need the word in our lives, because the word brings life. This woman was carrying a spirit of death. And so many times God brings us in contact with people who carries a spirit of death. You know what? And you know what? He sent Elijah in that situation. Why? To break that spirit of death. Obedience to the word breaks fear, and it breaks the spirit of death. This woman was afraid. You know what? And she said to the prophet, you know what? This is the last that I have. This is the last meal. And this is the last oil that I have. You know, this is the last flour that I have. And the prophet went in there. You can give us the scriptures. It says, and Elijah said to her, do not fear, go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. So what is he teaching her? He's teaching her the principles of God. Some of you know that God's principles are different. This morning I shared the story of a lady that got lost when she was coming to visit us, and I tried to help her, but she had a different picture in her mind. And I know where she were, and I know where she needed to go, but because she had a different picture, she wouldn't listen to me. And you know what? There's so many times the same with us. We have a picture in our minds, and this picture is like blocking us, you know. We can't be obedient because we can't see how it can work. And so he's breaking that spirit of fear. He's breaking that spirit of death. How? By leading her to become obedient to God's word. Because he's saying, before you make for you and your son, you know what? Give it to me. Who's he? He's the representative of God. You know, he represents God. And so he said, you know, put God first. And when you put God first, God will come through for you. And we know the story. It says here, for thus says the Lord God of Israel. This is God's word. The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So the day it started to rain, the miracle ended. So God is a God that provides. When we obey him, when we follow his principles, you know what? God will come through for his children. And God's word is powerful. God's word has power in it. God's word has strength in it. It has the ability to do what God sent it out to do. And this happened here. You know what? You don't go to a widow to care for you. Today, you know, widows are very rich because their husbands leave them with very rich, you know, old mutual and Sanlam policies, you know what, and there's also always those wolves that try to, you know, to connect to this widows. But those days, they weren't, Sanlam wasn't there, and Omichel wasn't there, and all these guys wasn't there. And God sent him to this widow. You know, it's like someone said, let me say it in Afrikaans, God werk verkeerd omreg. You know what, you don't expect God to do it in a certain way. But God told him, go to the widow, she's going to care to you. She's going to care for you. And when you get there, this widow was, you know, she was down and out. She was in depression. There was a spirit of death upon her. You know what? And she said, I have this little oil and I have this little flour. God, you said, this widow is going to care for me. This widow is going to provide for me. So we must go on his word and not on the circumstances. We must go on his word and not what we see. We must become word people saying, God, this is what you said. And God, I stand on this word because I know that your word is true. Everything that comes out of your mouth is true. Let's see if there's something else for us. Do you want God to use you? Amen. Am I talking to the right crowd? So, you know what? It's so important as where we started, you know, how to reach your desired destiny. If you want God to use you, you know what? One of the things that we need to do is that we must get into his presence. You know what? We must get our time frames in such a way, and we must discipline ourselves. We don't like that word discipline. Huh? It's an ugly word. Okay. But then, but you know what? We need to set time out for God. Why? Because we love him. God is a God of love. And he said in his word, you know, the most important thing that you and I can do is to love him. Love him with all your heart and all your mind and everything you have, all your strength. Love him, love him, love him. And the second thing is love your neighbor as yourself. Do you want God to use you? We must, you know, we must adapt to him. We must change our programs. We must say, God, you can come and you can change my program. You know what? God interrupted Elijah's life. I don't know where and who he was, who was his mom. You don't know anything about it. The only thing you read in 1 Kings 17 was his obedience. He was standing before Ahab. He was saying to Ahab, you know what, as sure as God lives, before whom I stand, there will not be dew, there will not be rain, you know, on my word. So do you want God to use you? The Bible school, the motto of the Bible school is God's word in your world. You know what, and it's so important that we know that God's word is not only for church. It's not only when I do quiet time, but God's word is, you know, where I spend time with my family. God's word, or let me put it in other way, God's principles is for family. God's principles is for marriage. God's principles is for the marketplace. God's principles is, you know, is for my entertainment, you know, how I do my entertainment. God's principles is for every area of my life. Okay. And the core values of the Bible school is relating in love. It's so important because God is a God of love. God is a God of relationship. God loves relationships. You know what? He's a covenant God. He loves people. God is in a relationship with himself, Father, Son, and Holy God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, it's a triune God. One is one being and three persons. And those three persons are one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So it's relating in life. It is being like Christ. We spoke this morning about it. How can we be like Christ? How does it look like? And we said being like Christ means three things. It is to think like Christ. That's the next one. Think biblically. It's to think like Christ. And the second one, which is not there, is to feel like Christ. And the third one is to act like Christ. So the Bible school, the whole thing of the Bible school is, how can I become more like Christ? Because that is God's purpose. That's why he sent out his word. That's why Jesus died. Romans 8:29 says, so that we can become like him. And that was God's purposes from the very beginning. God said in Genesis chapter 1:26, he said, let's make man according to our image. Okay, so God wants us to be like him. John the Baptist said he must become more and I must become less. Okay. And that's what the Bible says, you know, Jesus will fill everything and everyone so that the earth will be filled with his glory. So that God will be glorified in everything. Let's just pray together. Father, we just thank you for who you are, God. I thank you for this crowd of people that, God, I can just sense in my heart that there are people that's hungry for you. There are people that are willing to run with you, God. They want their lives to count. And God, I thank you that you are raising up word people, God. I thank you that you are raising up spirit people, God. People that are convicted, that know that you are a living God, that experience the life of your spirit. For we know, God, we cannot do this on our own. But we know when we obey, you release the power of your spirit. When we obey, God, your hand just supernaturally come over us and you work in us and you work through us. And God, as I said, we want to be people whose lives count. We want to be used by you, God. We want to be used by you in our families, in our relationships, in the places you have put us. And some of us, God, are in relationships, are meeting people that no one else will meet. And you want to use us in those areas. And we want to run with you, God. We want to run with you. We want to move with you. We want to obey you. We want to experience you in a new way. And God, I pray that by your Spirit you will just work your life and the life of Jesus within us. Just giving you praise, just giving you glory, God. Lord, we just thank you, God. We just thank you, God. I wonder if we can just stand all together, and let's just pray. Let's just pray to God. Just speak to Him, and you know what's on your heart. You know what God spoke to you this evening, and let's just talk to Him. In what way God challenged you, just. Let's just ask Him, God, just work in my heart. Work in my heart of willingness, God. Work in my heart of softness. Work in my heart and obedience. Yeah, we just worship you, God. We